All right, Kiss Army, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. This is a Kiss-related podcast by the board for the board. We hope that you enjoy. We'd love you to support this show. Please like, follow, and subscribe to us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Your likes and subscription helps us to grow and attract interviews and content. So please retweet and share our posts. Your contributions are appreciated. Well, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I hope that everyone's had a wonderful Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice, whatever you celebrate. I hope it was a good one, whether it was just a day off from work as well, and you don't celebrate anything. I hope everyone's healthy, happy, and looking forward to the end of this year and the start of a fresh year. It's that time of year when, you know, Ken, Daniel, and I are going to look back at some of the best and least of 2024, and that's going to be in a whole bunch of different ways, and chime in with your thoughts. I want to thank everyone who's joining us live, Sylvie, AB, Ronnie Parker, and anyone else who's listening in after the fact. You know, what are some of the things that have been good for you in Kissland in 2024, and what are some of the things that have not been so great? I mean, there's certainly a wide variety of both. You know, and it's been a very, very weird year. Yeah. You know, Lonnie and Mark aren't around today, so it's just going to be the Three Musketeers pontificating on this topic. But again, Tim Cobb, G. Chubb, thanks for joining us. Get your comments in about some of the things that you have enjoyed in 2024, mainly because I didn't do any homework, and some cheats would be very nice. You know, and also some of the things that you didn't like. I'm going to start off with just a little bit longer of a monologue. For me, it's been a very, very weird year. You know, number one, Kiss is done. December 2023, they were done, and they weren't kidding. It's been a desert for Kiss, for music and whatnot this year, other than the anniversary editions, merchandise. And it's been a very strange world to kind of be living in, where there isn't something waiting, there isn't something on the horizon. You know, the avatars are way down the road, that they're so far over the horizon, they've, you know, they're singularity at this point. So it's a very weird time to be a Kiss fan for me, but I've been busy as hell with the Ace book. That was only just getting off the ground in January, and it has eaten my year. I managed to publish one book, The Aerosmith Volume 2, covering the Geffen years on tour. Obviously, I'm working on War Machine as well, which has kept me very busy, and then started up a third title at the end of the year. So that is my year. My year has been devoid of a lot of the things that I'd come to enjoy in recent years. Ken, what about you? Sum up your 2024 as a Kiss fan, and the perspective from which you look at the world.
Yeah, I look at the world. Yeah, it's kind of weird because you normally used to, something going on always, you know, all the time with Kiss, whether they are still, you know, whether they used to be, you know, touring all the time or waiting to see something happen, or a special release that they may be promoting, or a show, TV show they might pop up on, that sort of thing. But it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of dried up. And these, the only thing we get is these, you know, occasional, I guess you could say almost monthly to a degree, maybe every couple months, the releases of, or the re-releases of albums and anniversaries, and they start, you know, putting out, you know, the vinyl, the shirts, new editions of shirts, and other Chotskis and that sort of thing. So it's kind of weird. What's funny is last night I watched the A&E documentary, and I hadn't watched it in quite a while. And, you know, it led to where, yeah, it could have been a lot better. But it kind of felt, you know, like, oh, yeah. I'm probably gonna, go back and start listening to more, my music again, which I kind of just like I talked about last episode. I just stopped. I don't always listen that much because it's already, ingrained, but I think I'm gonna actually pull out some, my favorite copies of certain vinyl and play them through and enjoy them more again. Yeah, it's kind of quiet other than Gene Simmons, touring a little bit this year, and I guess, next year obviously going to be better or more. That's about it. Yeah, there's nothing.
I'm curious, Ken, what's the last Kiss thing you listened to? Not that you watched. What is the last Kiss thing that you listened to, and when was it?
It was probably actually, I think I listened to Dress to Kill a couple of months ago, a month or two
Couple of
ago.
months ago.
I know, huh? Well, a couple of months on actual, if you're talking vinyl, that's probably the last vinyl I listened to, and it was, my promo copy of it,
Oh, my promo copy.
which
Oh, how
sounds
classist,
no,
you had to get
it's
that in there.
I had to do it, but it hits a super great sounding. I did it for actually, and I did it because I was kind of checking it, how good it was, or how bad it could have been, I guess, the quality. But it was like a brand new quality sounding record, and it sounded great. I thought, wow, this thing's so good. So yeah, I should be putting on more of those. So that's. Yeah, that's kind of like 2 months ago. I want to say it was 2 months ago.
Yeah,
The last
meanwhile,
Kiss vinyl that I played.
this morning I listened to Worcester 83, the Creatures show, because I got a tape in. I was
Okay.
doing a transfer of it, and I had to
Oh.
compare whether it was better than the one in my folder, which it was, but there's still a better one than it, so it's all irrelevant. Daniel, first of all, start off with, when's the last time you listened to Kiss and what was it? And then just give us the Swedish from your viewpoint on top of that mountain that you climb on a daily basis. What did 2024 look like from your perspective?
The last thing I listened to was all the records containing the word alive. I had to do some homework for a show I was a part of. So, Alive 1, 2, 3, the Millennium Concert, and also the Symphony. So, I listened through all those from, start to finish. And then we had a little discussion, and it dawned on me that actually, my favorite Alive record is actually, this is almost blasphemy, but Alive 3. I enjoyed that one the most. And I guess I'm going full circle back to 15-year-old Daniel when this one was released. To be perfectly honest, it's the Alive album that means the most to me, even though Alive 1 is the one that broke them and is considered the best of all time when it comes to Kiss's live records. But personally, I have to say Alive 3 still, is one of the best records I know. From the 1-2 punch with Creatures of the Night and Deuce, to the crunchy version of I Was Made for Loving You, to the power of Eric Singer behind the drum kit and Bruce Kulick's tasteful guitar work, I've come full circle with that record. It was not on my top list for a few years, but now it's back at the top, and I really, really enjoyed it. On the other hand, that Millennium concert, what a fucking train wreck! That's really awful, slow stuff. Yeah, so that was the last thing I listened to. And when it comes to 2024, I think the problem is you kind of got your hopes up when you got the news of the Avatars and also that Kiss sold the brand to Pop House. So I think I had some expectations that there would be some more releases this year, which is what nothing happened. There was no change of the guards. Pop House didn't do anything. So it was like being on pause, nothing happens. one of the highlights, of course, was attending a Gene Simmons concert. And I know both you guys bought tickets for Gene Simmons' concerts in the U.S., so that will be some interesting discussions to hear. What do you feel about those shows? And I just hope that he doesn't bring the amount of people on stage that it did.
He will.
You think so? You don't think he will, you know, kind of alter because of the feedback?
I don't think he cares what the feedback is. He's Gene Simmons, and we're not.
Yeah, but I think he's always this kind of, you know, he wants to sell stuff. He wants to be successful, and if he gets feedback that no one likes this, I think he'll change it up. At least I hope. So 2024. It's like being on pause, waiting for something to happen, and I do hope something happens. And it would almost have been better to, you know, Kiss ending, no avatars, nothing, and then I wouldn't have my hopes up. But it was a disappointing year, to say the least.
Yeah, I think that sets the stage pretty nicely. Mike Burke, thank you for your comment about Paul not being opposed to the idea of doing a one-off Kiss show. That's a whole different topic than what we're going to cover today, as it will trigger me. So we will get to that one in the future, no doubt. Let's get the worst of 2024 out of the way. The least. And the biggest failing of 2024 for you. What was it? For me, it simply was that Pop House bought a vehicle without any gas in it, without any engine in it, weren't given the keys to the doors, and then found that they lived in a city without a gas station. So they bought a property that was completely useless, not ready to go, couldn't roll down the road, couldn't do anything. You couldn't even show it off to your friends because you couldn't open the doors. It was that they bought into something and they didn't have a plan to be going. As a result of that, the 50th anniversary of the debut album was skipped. That, to me, is sacrilegious. Jeez. That was just so shameful, so embarrassing. And that falls not only on Pop House, but on Kiss themselves for the half-assed way in which things just ended up happening. And yeah, business happens. I get it. There's a lot more to the story in the background than we know or are able to talk about. So, but missing the anniversary of your debut album is just unforgivable, pathetic, and lazy. And it just shows that unless someone's getting paid for something, that there's no interest in there's no value for that history that we have, that we celebrate on a weekly basis, that a dozen other podcasts celebrate on a weekly basis with energy, enthusiasm. None of that exists to the guys who actually created that art, because it was all part of life or other reasons, maybe all part of business, and it's so far down the road. But damn it, just, you know, Kiss at 50, the little, oh, we're going to reissue it. And yeah, it looked good, the reissue. But there should have been more. There should have been much, much more. There should have been that damn box set for the first album. Ken.
Oh, yeah. First of all, I have to totally agree with you about a box set for the first album, 50th anniversary. That was a huge miss. Huge miss. The other thing about Pop Poop House, until they get something else, I'm still going to give them the Poop House name.
Poop House, yeah.
The thing is, they started talking to Kiss fans after the fact. They should have, and I don't have any information one way or the other, but I don't think they really talked to Kiss fans before they did the purchase. And I would have, you know, if you're going to invest in something, I think they're only investing in the show, possibilities of it, the avatar kind of thing, initially. But if they were going to really purchase and have control of everything, then I would have gotten some big time Kiss fans in there to discuss, you know, things they should do so they could hit the ground running, at least. And they obviously didn't hit the ground running. They could have, you know, said, okay, yeah, these were in the works already. And these Kiss fans, this is what the Kiss fans want. We're talking to some Kiss fans. Yeah, they want more box sets and videos and this and that. I to me, I think they had a miss there, where they could have started, getting the money rolling in earlier, and instead of having all this today. Of course, they couldn't do it. There was nothing saying that they were gonna for sure sign the papers and make the deal, but I still think you got to be prepared for what you are buying and know everything about it before doing that, instead of just, I think, going after the makeup kind of rights and the performances and their image, that sort of thing only.
And we don't know.
Anyway, and I yeah, and again, yeah, I had no information one way or the other, but I think they missed something there, because that's why it's taking so long for something to happen. Though now talking about more about it, I guess you could call this a Lest kind of moment, is that Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley video they did a few weeks ago or whatever, saying that they recorded on their iPhone. There's a there's still a lot, there's stuff, big stuff coming, happening.
And that was
And
for Spotify, by the way.
was it for Spotify?
Yeah,
Okay.
separately.
Yeah, and it's just, to me, either just announce what's going to happen, or shut up. Don't even say that. You're teasing stuff that we have no idea. I don't know what kind of trying they're trying to drop interest on something they don't even own anymore. So it doesn't make sense to me. I just don't get it. I think it was kind of a bad moment, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, sorry, Marco and I having a great chat in the chat, and neither of us can say a lot either. So yeah, absolutely, Marco, 100%. But if they'd done their due diligence, they might have found that out. Daniel, to bring you into this conversation again, what is your biggest failing of 2024?
I think you guys covered it. The lack of celebration when it comes to the biggest anniversary there is, the debut album. I think that's horrible. How the hell can you drop the ball like that? So I'm just, but I think I remember Ken saying last week that he was hoping for something next year, and I'm holding my breath for this one, because Alive next year.
Be alive.
Alive. Let's see what they do with it. And another disappointment is that when the Kiss company comes up with a great idea, like the box sets, the Destroyer box set, the Creatures box set, they were awesome. I haven't heard anyone, thinking that those box sets sucks in any way. So everyone seems so pleased with them. And I don't know about the sales, but I would imagine they did quite well. What about a box set for the debut album and next year something with Alive? Because those two box sets are some of the best stuff they've released in recent years. But it just stopped. Some guy mentioned in the comments that they haven't released any off the soundboard, but I guess the problem with those might be sales. I don't know. But they must be very cheap to make with that cover and everything. So I can't imagine they're losing a lot of money on those, but they're not bringing in a lot of money either. But they could release them off the soundboards. I guess they have
Damn
loads
right
of
they
money.
could. We uncovered a new I gotta be careful about high phrases. Soundboard recording that is absolutely fantastic. No one's heard it
Which
other than the,
tour?
I'm not even gonna say.
Oh,
It would just make a lot of audio people very happy. That has been
well,
pitched at Universal, who own the musical rights for
okay.
an off the soundboard, and that's why I won't talk about it, because again, people don't know what it is. I don't want people begging it. I don't have it anyway now. My part in that is all done. But the off the soundboards,
Yeah.
oh, don't remind me.
Well, as far as the off the soundbars, I think, to a degree, I'm okay if they hold off on them, if they include them in the box sets as a part of that box set. I mean, to me, I'd almost rather have them as part of the box sets for the full, you know, that experience. You could have more than one soundboard. Well, like Creatures had more than one soundboard. Mm-hmm. So you could do that with, save some of those for the kind of, help sell those box sets by including them in them. That's what I would do if it was me.
You know, use two or three soundboards for their live box sets next year.
Yes, more enticing. Idea.
We'll have to wait and see. Before we move into just another area, you know, has 2024 got another year in your personal history that it was similar to? You know, it wasn't a great year, but it wasn't a terrible year by any means, because there was stuff that happened in all of our lives around how we enjoy and consume KISS. You know, was there any other year? I mean, Ken, you were there in 81. You know, I remember 86 and the long wait between Asylum and Crazy Nights, though they were still on tour for several months through, I think it was April 86. So
in North America,
They weren't invisible. They were still in Hit Parader and Circus and everything with those lovely outfits, the B. Arthur Experience. You know, and then in the 2000s, it doesn't really count so much. But Ken, was there another year that was like 2024 for you?
Kind of. I would say right be around the time of after, you know, Unmasked to the Elder kind of, you know, they didn't tour for Unmasked in the U.S. And then, which was a disappointment. And then the Elder came, which was different, and they didn't tour for that either. So it was the U.S., that was a big skip of a period of time and nothing going on other than those albums, but I mean, which I enjoyed the albums, but I think, right after the Elder, it was like, okay, shoot, what's going to happen now? It was kind of quiet because KISS was probably at their lowest point. And technically, I think they were, because when they released Creatures, which was a great album, it didn't sell because they lost everything. All their momentum went down, and they had to, you know, regain the momentum by, first of all, by maybe people saying how, you know, good Creatures was, but they probably didn't give it a chance, which I don't think anyone really did. Even if someone said, it was great, you know, it was actually good. But by that time it was over. So it was kind of quiet, until finally, you know, they went on tour for Creatures, but again, you didn't get many people going to those. I went, of course, but there's a lot of other less fans or people that have already, you know, left the band at that point. So it was kind of a interesting period of time back then, at least.
Yeah. Daniel, how about you? You know, becoming a fan around the same time as me.
Wow. Yeah. Back in the day, a year could be such a long time. So 86, I remember, over here in Scandinavia, I think I would have to say 1990, maybe, because Heart in the Shade did squat over here after they had some success, some real good success with the 80s albums. Things went south with Heart in the Shade. It didn't even chart, I think, or it charted very low. There was no tour over here. And that was the first time for quite some time they didn't go over here to Scandinavia, because they were here on the Lick It Up tour, on the Animalize tour, not on the Asylum tour. And then they did a long tour for Crazy Nights, but they didn't come here in 89 or 90 for the Heart in the Shade tour. So I remember finding out about the Heart in the Shade album in some sort of catalog when I saw, what? A new album from KISS? I hadn't even heard about it. So the interest was at an all-time low. I don't know what happened after the Crazy Nights, because they got a lot of press for Crazy Nights, but Heart in the Shade, no press, nothing. And someone mentioned 91. It was you, Julian, 1991. But you still had Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and
sure.
that video was really heavy in rotation, at least here on MTV Europe. So yeah. I saw that a lot. And I remember the first time seeing that video, feeling Kiss is kind of back, because I remember thinking this sounds way better than anything on Heart in the Shade. So for me, 1991 was kind of a restart in my Kiss interest, because I saw the potential in that song and the way it sounded. And another thing, one of my friends said, I remember when we saw that video for the first time, "Hey, you know, Kiss has got a new drummer." "Okay, who is it?" "It's a girl." Because in the video, you can see a clip from the movie where a girl is drumming. Hmm. But after some time, we understood that that wasn't true.
Yeah, 1991 was a weird year. Where was I? I was in Scranton. No, Scranton at that time. I was halfway through getting kicked out of Penn State. You know, so I didn't know that Eric Carr was sick. I remember the God Gave Rock and Roll to You video when I went home to England. But, you know,
that was a great hit over there, wasn't it?
It was
number four.
Yeah, number four hit. So another weird year. But there's many weird years depending on where you live. And obviously, if they don't visit your neck of the woods, or they've dropped off in your magazine coverage, you know, they really become invisible very easily. Let's get into just look at the show quickly in 2024. You know, we've put out a shit ton of episodes this year. So it's been an interesting year in terms of trying to put together these shows. It's not going to be a surprise, since you guys already know what these are, what the most popular episodes are. But number one, I think the takeaway from looking at the stats was always check that your web host hasn't made configuration changes on your server, causing you to lose all your statistics for the year for audio. So I had to go to Spotify and iTunes on their own, and that's left out a whole bunch of other platforms that don't honor, you know, rules and just pick up the RSS feed and, you know, deliver it to people. You know, there's a whole bunch of different ways to listen to the show other than Spotify and iTunes, but I can't get the metrics for those.
So you mean the numbers are in reality a bit higher than what
they'll be higher. Now, how many people are actually doing so, it's impossible for me to quantify now. But as a result of that, the viewership numbers on the show are way down this year. But, you know, even YouTube, which is just standard from year to year, because that's all plugged into Google Analytics, will tell us. So let's see the top. I think it's the top 10 I've done for this. So the top 10 episodes this year, refocused. And this is iTunes. Let's do the overall. Refocused. 10,000 Faults review.
Whoa. Top three refocused.
Yep. Kiss versus the 70s. Refocused. Kiss. Hey, the debut is way down there by Hot in the Shade. Shame on us. We're as bad as criticizing Pop House and Universal for that. Hot in the Shade. Refocused. Did well. So you know what? I guarantee you this. I don't know in terms of number of episodes, how many we do next year, you know, with things, unless things start happening, but we'll definitely do refocus for the albums that are going to be celebrating those milestone anniversary numbers, because it's a fun way to look at the albums. It's a fun way to reframe discussion and to update it with everything that kind of has surfaced since the last time that we talked about them. And new information's always coming out about these albums and these periods and times. Mike Brandvold, you came in at number 10, The Briefer History of Time, which has got to be one of the dumbest titles I ever came up with for an episode of, you know, having someone like him on.
I'm not sure. You have a lot of dumb titles.
Thanks. Do you know how hard it is to come up with? Actually, we're talking about AI.
Just kidding.
I come up with the good ones, the good titles.
Don't go all mad on me now. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I need to find an AI system that can come up with the titles for me.
No. I like your titles.
Let Ken do the thumbnails and let AI do the.
There you have it. Yeah.
Do the other one. All right, so. Let's just take a quick look at on YouTube. Again, it's very much the same. Sonic Boom actually snuck into the YouTube viewings. Yeah. Again, another refocused episode, and then the rest are all the same, the Mike Brownvold episode, which is 537. Mike Brownvold, A Briefer History of Time. Go check it out if you haven't. It was actually a very fun conversation. Yeah. On iTunes, your favorite year in history was one episode that hasn't been on any of the other charts that managed to. Oh, and Deathmatch number 20. Also made it. I didn't highlight that because I'm obviously not a good employee. Sorry. No raise this year. Again, all four refocused, or four of them right at the top there. So, and then Spotify. We don't get a lot of people listening on Spotify, but we also had Your Favorite Year in History and Lonely People, Lonely Stairs. I don't even remember what the hell that episode was about.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Nope.
Yeah, what is a good title?
Yeah, War I think personally it's all subjective, of course, but I like the way Seinfeld did it, the simplest way possible, you know, like the and then something else. I like those titles, simplicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Julian likes more of a, you know, kind of a advanced way of
hidden message stuff. Doing like the hidden messages and
double meanings, but that's okay.
Obscure. I don't really know how to do it. But I think the takeaway from all of those just basic numbers is thank you very much. Thank you to the audience. Thank you to everyone who's pressed play on an episode of the podcast, wherever you've done so. The live streams have really become the way of doing the podcast for me because of this chat board that we have going by and the interaction and the comments.
I love it.
Getting to get distracted by a topic or a thought or, you know, an insult or a call. We don't get a lot of insults, thankfully. It's really cool. That's one of the greatest things. And I wish, you know, StreamYard hadn't changed it so that we could have more people, you know, running the controls at a time.
One thing you mentioned there is really interesting, Julian. Not a lot of insults, because I recall the first few years, there were quite a few insults and complaints, but that's kind of stopped. So I guess we've weeded out the... What do you say? We have gotten rid of, you know, people. If they don't like it, they stop listening to us. Because lately there's been, I can't recall the latest, you know, negative comment we've gotten. But I recall in the beginning we got quite a few and sort of some personal attacks. The only one
Jason didn't like the belch last episode.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. The belching is getting a lot of criticism, but that's smart. Rightfully. So, yeah. Well, I think it's sort of a part of the show now. You're just waiting for Mark to do one or two belches. So.
I'm not waiting for it, but I was like, yeah. But anyway, yeah.
I think it's fun.
You know what?
Yes, because he is. I think the fun thing is he's trying with all of his might not to burp, but he can't talk.
You need to, Daniel, you need to send him some Gas X. You know, there you go. You know, as far as those statistics, Julian, I've always thought about this in the past and said this is when we focus or, you know, the refocus stuff and other episodes, but when we talk about the actual music, the albums or the songs, those are the ones that usually do best, because people, that's what KISS is all about. It's, you know, sometimes a live show, of course, but the actual music itself, people are very interested in and love the music. So that a lot of those do well, you know, Dynasty, Animalize, as you see, even, you know, 10,000 Volts was a new record. It's the music again. KISS 70s versus the 70s edition. Again, that was music, pinning KISS's music against other artists' music of that time period. You can see it. The best Kiss album since 92. All of it. All of the top stuff is, and I've said it in the past, even years ago. I said, I think our best ones are always about the music, and people do enjoy the music because that's what it's all about. People listen to it and enjoy the music over the years. And yeah, we rehash it and talk about the same album again, but sometimes our opinions change, or we look at it, or we look at the albums a different way. Like this refocus series that we've been doing the last year, starting last year, and it's going to continue. We're going to continue doing it. I think March is the next one for Dress to Kill. So I see a lot of more focusing on the music because, you know, that's what the people obviously want, you know.
Well, yeah, we have time for one more refocus this year if we're really diehards and if anyone's actually even around. On New Year's Eve, we could celebrate the 25th anniversary of that show, which Daniel was singing the praises of a short while ago. The Millennium Concert, of course, was 25 years ago in 3 days from now. So if you guys want to do a refocus to 25, the Millennium Concert, where's my bottle of scotch?
I'm up for everything. Let's bring the bottle of scotch and talk about
certain
it.
Things, though.
Yeah, but to piggyback off of Ken, I think he's correct when he's saying that music is the most important thing, of course, when discussing Kiss. It's always been, and it always will be. But I'm looking at these titles, and I'm thinking, these are the simple titles that says what the episode is about. So I'm just trying to.
You know what you're going to get, right?
Yeah, with that, you know what you're going to get with these episode titles. I think that's what you're going to. But I have to talk about that episode 513, Kiss Versus. I think that was real fun. One of my favorites this year when talking about Kiss. Comparing Kiss against other artists was basically what we did for those episodes. And it made me listen to a lot of albums that I hadn't listened to.
Right.
But I do have to say we should do those episodes without Mark Anthony because he had such crazy picks. I'm remembering suffering through a Frank Zappa album and almost dying. So, Mark, if you watch this later, you have to pick up.
I think that's the reason to make sure Mark's included. Because
All kidding aside, I think the diversity is the thing that makes those episodes interesting and fun to do. Yeah, it's a challenge. You have to listen to albums that you wouldn't normally listen to. So, personally, just viewers aside and everything, I think those episodes were the most fun for me, at least, this year. And I had to listen to a few of Ken's weird album picks as well.
Sure, yeah. A couple of.
So, right up there in the middle was Ace Frehley's 10,000 Volts. It's been asked in the comments, you know, where does that album sit for you now? That was a very positive thing to happen in 2024. Ace released another studio album.
Hell yeah.
I don't really care if you like it or don't. Mm-hmm. Ace at least continues to put out music. He's working on Origins 3 right now. Yeah. You know, so he continues to create and make music. Now, whether that music works for you, I guess I gave the album a listen a week ago or so, and I still enjoy the living shit out of it. There were parts of it that made me roll my eyes. There were parts that made me smile, and there are parts that get me going, you know, that I do really enjoy. So I hope that continues to be the case in 2025, that there is new music. Gene put out Stormy. Well, he didn't put out. It was included in the movie for
Reagan.
What was that?
Reagan.
For Reagan. Thank you.
Yeah.
And while I didn't care for his interpretation of that style of music, and I didn't think it worked for his voice or his tonal characteristics to put on a critic's hat, I was very excited to see him on a mainstream kind of movie platform such as that. Daniel, 10,000 Volts for you. Is that a positive for 2024?
Of course. I'm with you there when you say new music. And Ken has always been a champion for new music. He's always been talking about Kiss releasing new music. But now I think you've given up on that at least. But it took some time
Maybe.
before you gave up on it. New music is always welcome, of course. And talking about Ace Frehley's latest album in particular, I still enjoy a lot from that album. I like the lead-off single. I think that's a good song. I think it's one of his better songs. I like Fighting for Life is another one that I remember. I think it was kind of cool. Then there were some questionable songs, but that's always been the case with Ace's albums. He's never, well, if you don't count his 78 solo album, of course, which is almost perfect. But after that, there's always been, the B-sides on every Ace Frehley record after 78, not that good. You can go to his first Frehley's Comet album and listen to the B-side. It's not the best one. So I think he actually managed to hit the ball out of the park. I couldn't see this one happening at this point of time that he managed to do such a good album. And the mind boggles, thinking back, what could have he ha had released if he had gotten sober somewhere there, after the first Frehley's album, after Second Sighting, there were a lot of, or after Trouble Walking, it took, when was the next album released? 89, Trouble Walking, and then 2000.
Nine?
Nine.
Nine?
Yeah, same time
That
as Sonic
period.
Boom, about, yeah.
So the mind boggles. Imagine if he could have gotten sober somewhere around 1990.
Earlier.
There,
Well, he was a dinosaur. The same problem with the emergence of grunge in
Yeah.
91,
That's true.
92 killed people who weren't necessarily healthy. But he was a road dog, just for fun tour,
Yeah, 93.
kick-ass tour. He
95.
stayed on the road. He went to Japan, and then
Oh.
95 and MTV happened, and after that. So I think one has to give Ace a little bit of slack. He apparently did have a record deal pending.
Okay.
Large pinch of salt on that one. I don't know. So then he's in Kiss until 2001.
But I think I don't know which record label he is on now, but I think they did a great job for that last album. Great promotion, pretty cool videos, a lot of, and he made a, did he do two or three videos for the
Two
album? I think
videos.
that, yeah,
Yeah.
I think that's great as
He
well. And yeah.
he should do a third, keep that one going as much as possible, maybe a couple more colors of vinyl. Ken, 10,000 volts.
Is there any more colors? Okay.
Which one? What are you talking about now? 10,000
10,000
volts?
volts.
It was a good, that was a good point, at least one of the few things that we got this year, other than the normal re-releases of things. But yeah, new music is always good. And I was pleasantly surprised with Ace's album. Very well produced. I like the sound. I would have maybe liked Ace doing a little bit more soloing on it, because I don't think he had took on all the solos on that.
No.
But it was a good, surprising. Over the last, I think the one before it, what was that, Spaceman? Yeah, I enjoy it much better than that, than Spaceman. Yeah, much better.
Sounds better.
The sound is much, much better. So, and I'm, so I'm hoping for this. I know it's Origins. It's not a, new release of or new music, but I think there's potential there since Steve Brown, right, is working with Ace and the production, and I think they have maybe some surprises that they'll do on it. It may turn out to be the best Origins album, hopefully. I think they could, I don't know how many you want to do those. I think that maybe this will be the last one. I hope he goes back to another, if it's in his contract, hopefully. to do another solo album after that, maybe next year or something, or the year after, whatever. So I don't know how many more he's got in the tank that he's going to be able to do, but yeah, I think there's still potential out there for more good Ace music.
Talking about covers, Buffalo Rock City, you interviewed those guys year or two back. Absolutely. So they released some sort of box set or something.
Yeah, they did the three volumes of Buffalo Rock City that they've done and Alive. And the third volume is absolutely spectacular. I heard a copy or a cover of I Can't Stop the Rain, which was absolutely glorious. And one of the things I like about John Jeffrey and his team with Buffalo Rock City is the attention to detail on the sonics. They do a whole lot to make sure that stuff sounds warm, not digitally neutered, because obviously there's a lot of files flying around these days, and that does take out that kind of warmth and natural music. And it just sounds, the Krabby was on Down on Your Knees or something. There are so many different guests and combinations of people, but right down to there's a consistency in sonics across all of the material on it that makes it very fun. For a couple of listens, I don't sit around listening to cover albums.
Yeah, I think, but I think the packaging and everything, that is some sort of
originals.
Looks like the originals, but a different take on the originals. And you know, John Corabi on one of the songs, and Todd Howarth, I think they brought on as well. And there was another guy I remember that was, Tim Ripper Owens. I don't know, not Julian's favorite vocalist, but I did enjoy his stuff on Judas Priest's albums in the early 2000s. He's doing Carnival of Souls. So it's such a, coming from left field, I think it's such a cool pick. So go and check out, Buffalo Rock City. You can check him out on Bandcamp, BuffaloRockCityBandcamp.com.
Yeah, no, that was very cool. One disappointment this year was so little Paul Stanley. He was really absent in many ways from many things, many areas that he'd previously been, kind of on a pedestal. But it must be a hell of a period of readjustment for him, to have walked off the stage and been done. I was reading a comment from him the other day where he said he hadn't basically picked up a guitar in a year. And that I just find stunningly sad that he hasn't been strumming away, writing some great songs for other artists, like some of the stuff that was on Soul Station that isn't getting the attention that I think it deserves as songs. He did a couple of, Wentworth things for his art. Mm-hmm. But I miss Paul Stanley. It sounds very, very strange to say, but Bruce Kulick stepped into that area, with his fantastic video celebrating the 40th anniversary of him basically joining the group for the European tour for Animalize in 1984. And he did a couple of really good videos this year. So Bruce continues to be a mensch.
Yeah, talking about Bruce Kulick, I think the latest thing he did there on Kiss Cancer 3 was really a cool thing. If I lived somewhere in the vicinity. Yeah. That's a big word I didn't nail.
Like gymnasium. Right.
The vicinity, yeah. Yeah, exactly. In Sweden, we say smurf. When we say the same thing at the same time, smurf. Okay, but I think Kiss Cancer 3 seemed to be an awesome event. And it's kind of interesting to see that they're trying to, looking past Kiss ending, because they're bringing in guys that played with Ace Frehley or Gene Simmons and making them part of the show, so that kind of makes it possible to continue these kinds of events, bringing those guys. Well, he played with Ace Frehley, he played with Gene Simmons, let's see what he's got, that band. And some of the stuff sounds awesome. The concert that I think they were called the Handsome Guys or something.
Yeah.
something like that.
Handsome Devils or something.
Handsome Devils. Oh, Handsome Devils. Yeah, the Handsome Devils. I mean, the way they are performing some of the songs is really awesome. Go ahead. I would have loved to be there and watch that concert. So, and then they brought in Bruce Kulick and Eric Singer on a few songs. So, for sure, I would have gone to that as well. So, it's sort of the beginning of recreating the Kiss Expo, so Kiss conventions. At least I'm hoping that it's the genesis of that. So that's what I'm hoping for, some way that Kiss's music can live on through expos and conventions, because I thought that event looked really, really cool, and the music that they played sounded awesome, and they also had Anton Figg on there, and it must have been a great event to be a Kiss fan attending that one. Lots of good music and meeting Kiss fans and stuff like that. Well, I'm just hoping they continue that Kiss Cancer thing. To me, it seems like a really awesome event.
Yeah, hopefully they do. They continue that and some other, you know, conventions, you know, maybe pop up. Those videos, they've recorded those, the Creature stuff, the Creature set where they played the full album of that, and I think the Elder as Pro Shot. And so that they're releasing like one every Friday, I think, or something like that. Yeah. But I think they should do it a little bit faster, because it's going to take a while to get through all of it. But because they still have the Elder after that to do. And that's the reason that I think, you know, I mentioned the Elder, that I watched one from the audience, right? The back, I watched the whole thing. And that was pulled down from YouTube because there is a Pro Shot and they want to release that. So I'm really looking forward to the Elder Pro Shot more so than the Creatures one. The Creatures one's really, really good. But I want to see the Elder as a Pro Shot and the sound of that, because they're spot on playing the music, and it's very, very good. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully they speed up the release of those videos. I don't, you know, instead of kind of dragging it out once a week or whatever, maybe do at least a couple a week, maybe. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that.
Kiss fans just aren't patient. Ken doesn't
want
to wait.
I'm not patient. I want my stuff now.
Ken, I'm going back to you the anniversary editions, as you're the one of the three of us who are on this show who were most likely to have bought any of them during the year. I bought one and then canceled it, so I'm zero for the year on any of those anniversary editions or even the generic ones. Which ones did you get, and which one do you think was the best anniversary treatment of reissues and
this year
stuff? Yeah, and tell us about that jacket. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this jacket is I think I might have showed it once before. This is one. This is an anniversary jacket for the first debut album, right? So it has a lining on it, and
tell us who you're modeling today, Ken.
The back. I have to show the back. And you know, while I'm doing that, I'll grab one of my new favorites of the releases. So hang on here.
Yeah, do that.
There's the back. See if you can see it.
Oh, nice.
The debut. But wait, yeah. I'm gonna get Daniel. You continue. I'm going to get one of the albums released.
All right, Daniel. Did you buy any? And if not, which one do you most regret not being able to get, or would you have gotten?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I'm not really into reissues at all, so I'm not getting them. The last thing I bought was actually a Peter Criss Cat 1 on CD, because it was a bargain and I didn't have it. So that's one that I bought, and there are some gems on that one, actually. I kind of like that album more than I remember. Okay, Ken's back.
I'm back. So this one, one of the most recent ones, and you can look at the shininess of it. This is the one.
I'm sorry, that is freaking spectacular.
Let me pull it out even of the actual.
And did you know that Tom German and T42 Design had to basically recreate that front cover from scratch?
Oh, no.
Really? Oh, man.
It's not just an upscale and redo of the original.
The silver like a mirror, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks good on camera too.
The other one, the one that's the colored vinyl, is like embossed. I want to say it's not this kind of shiny print, but yeah, just
that. Oh, that's amazing! That really does look excellent.
So that, and then you know, of course, the it's a, you know, it's your standard, but. You know, the picture just came out pretty good there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to buy it. I'm with Daniel. Yeah. I'm not into reissues unless they're 5 CD long box sets.
And no,
then I'm in.
The other thing I like about it is at least this one too had a double side. I think I'm going to put this poster up. Honestly, I got a frame that
with
I
can thumb put tacks?
In. No, this one here. This there we go. That's a nice poster. I mean, it's double-sided, but you can do this a live one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool, too, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I really like that. But that the cover of that is really, really cool. I mean, every one of the ones in the last year or so have been really, really done well. I'm really enjoying them.
Did you get Hotter Than Hell with its, like, sand texture cover?
Oh yeah, I do have that one too.
One of them have reflective sunglasses on it as well.
Yes, yes, I showed that. I think that one I showed a month ago or so, or whenever it came out.
I geeked out when I saw the
eye. And you like, and I was tilted, and you could see the sunglasses shining even on the back pictures where they're wearing it. You could see it, and then the sand kind of texture feeling on the it's you know. Pretty cool. The one I don't have is that Animalize one with the one with the it's the picture disc that has the, I guess it's supposed to feel like fur or something of the fur skins. That's the only one I missed out on. I didn't get it on time, so.
Yeah, well, you know, again, congratulations to Tom and the T42 team for the work and creativity that they put into all of those. Let's just cut through everything right now to the best moment in 2024 of you as a KISS fan. You know, what was it? Again, I kind of threw out there for this topic, I got to go get my notes here, that it could be web, it could be in any format, print, sound, visual, a moment, an event, a podcast episode, an interaction, whatever. What would be your number one moment that you'll look back on 2024 as a KISS fan for and say, that was it? Daniel?
Well, you guys can look forward to this next year, because my top moment of 2024 was actually attending the Gene Simmons concerts. Even though I think he was way better back in 2018 when I saw him in Stockholm. This year in Gothenburg, it was sort of a letdown, but at times it was still the old Gene, you know, performing, calling Dr. Love without any kids on stage and a few others. I mean, it's still such a high to watch that still to this day. And of course, it's not just the concert, it's you know, meeting other like-minded people, it's going and having dinner with people who are KISS fans, discussing. It's, you know, the anticipation of the concert. It's going to, you know, a club after the show with KISS fans. So it's sort of, yeah, it sounded great when Julian spoke Swedish.
When Julian had AI speak Swedish.
Yeah,
but sounded let's great. Be clear.
Yeah. So, so I think to me, it's the, you know, live experience, the concert experience. I always enjoy that. And if it's a member of KISS or KISS playing, it's over the top. So I think in retrospect, a few years from now, that's what I will remember from this year. And of course, the new release from Ace Frehley is a good thing, but the thing that I will most that I will cherish the most is the live experience and, you know, the community of Kiss fans. That's the thing for me.
Yeah, you said something I just wanted to comment on about sometimes you see the old Gene. Actually, every time you see Gene now, you're seeing the old Gene. when you think about it, I mean, I got to respect the guy at 75 years old. His work ethic remains undiminished with time. He is still all invested and all go and all business. And, you know, you also touched on another thing. I'm going to go next, Ken. You know, whenever we press play on these episodes, whether we're coming in with a topic that we have a clear direction on or whether we're kind of winging it with board topics, getting together with fellow fans, and that includes everyone who's joined us on the live streams with their comments, you're part of this as well because you're part of the interaction, is what it is about. Now, sadly, while that is a very important one, my top moment of 2024 is not that. it is the Ace Book.
Yeah,
of course. You know, now we're getting to the point where we're actually going to be able to talk to designers again. You know, we're making the progress in the final, what I hope is the final stretch. It has been a challenge this year. I'll leave it at that, but some of the rewards that have come with it, some of the things I've gotten to hear and see, many of which hopefully before too long everyone else is going to get to see as well, is just going to be, I think, worth all the pain and suffering. You know, sometimes art isn't born easy. You know, it's a tough thing to do, whether you're doing projects for yourself, like War Machine, or Alan with his Kiss in Japan titles and newsletters that he puts effort and detail into sharing with the Kiss Army. I can't wait for that thing to be born, but the work that was done in 2024, I will look back on probably and say, yeah, it was a grind at times, but it was the best of grinds. Ken, your best of 2024.
Really, the best of 2024 is showing up here weekly, really. And we're able to still talk about, you know, Kiss, even though it's been a quiet year for Kiss, we're still able to enjoy the history of Kiss, all that they've given to us. And I'm also enjoying fun things for, you know, the podcast, you know, trying to advertise a little bit and create some of these images, which I use on just basic. I don't even have Photoshop. I'm just using the basic tools that came with like an iPad and throwing stuff together, you know, with, you know, the help of AI. I want to say A&E, you know, I watched the A&E.
Document
thing last night, so but with AI and then me, you know, and then adjusting and adding things to these things is kind of been fun to do. So, but yeah, mostly just, you know, doing this stuff is the high point. I'm hoping next year the high point will be something, you know, where I don't have to say it's the podcast. Maybe it'll be something else, like the Gene Simmons, you know, concert or whatever else that surprises that are supposed to come next year. And I expect it to be a better year than 24.
Just, yeah, real quick, Julian, we have to mention some of our, loyal listeners here today. Where's Drago? We have to mention, thank you for listening to our show. Silver Rose, you've been awesome listening to us. Jason Leonard, you're always here. And the Opal Archive is another one that I recognize from week to week. And there's a few others as well.
Many more.
Ronnie Parker.
Ronnie Parker and a few more. So I just think it's awesome that you join us for this discussion. And it seems to give you something at least. So it feels good for us and it'll keep us going for maybe a few more years, hopefully.
Yeah, we wait and see. I mean, Ken and I have the, you know, Gene show in April next year. I mean, I do want to look into and see what is the possibility of having a fan gathering beforehand. Ooh. You know, is that something that is feasible? Cool. I haven't been up to Roanoke Park. I've not been to the casino, so I don't know what the lay of the land is in terms of venues around. I know that the casino itself is very expensive in terms of rooms and whatnot. But would there be a possibility of doing a lowbrow poor man's Kiss Expo, not like Kiss Cancer, yeah. Bye. You know, and maybe do some giveaways, you know, for charity, you know, because I think Kiss Cancer Goodbye is a good example of, you know, giving back, you know, and I look around me at some of the things I've got sitting around, I'd happily put some of those up for, you know, silent auctions to raise some money. But, you know, that'll be something to look forward to in 25. And that is the human interaction part, continuing to do it on the show and have that interaction, but also when the opportunity arises to travel.
One final thing, Julian, can you do some sort of advertisement for the episode coming up in January, maybe?
Well, I think I need the team to help out with that, because we are going to be celebrating 10 years. I believe it's January the 18th.
17th.
Well, the 18th is the Saturday when we'll do a live
show. Oh, okay. When we do it.
But we're actually going to hit 10 years. And I know plenty of other podcasts have hit that milestone, but this one's ours, damn it. You know, Danny was on the first ever episode. You know, I was. Lonnie's been on a long time. Ken's been on a long time. Mark's been on a long time. We've had Alex. You know, we've had a variety of people come through. Jay Richter was on way back in the day. You know, so we are going to be celebrating this episode with a special, well, we hope it's special, a live episode. And we are soliciting people who've been longtime viewers and or supporters and even critics of the show. Are there episodes that you remember where we said something that didn't make any sense that you want clarification? Well, pull out the timestamp, send it to us, and we'll throw that into the mix. Daniel, what else would we love to happen for this celebration episode that we'll be doing?
Well, I think the thing I would appreciate the most is sort of a personal message. Why have you listened to the show? Has it meant anything for you? Has it, you know, been something you could go to when times were tough and so on? Because I recall during the COVID years, people actually messaged me and told me that you know, the Kiss FAQ podcast made me, you know, was a great help for me to get through COVID. So that was, you know, mind blowing when I got those.
Well, help does too.
Yeah. So I don't think you have to pick a certain episode or a moment from an episode. I think just speak from your heart and maybe record a short video or audio. That goes for you, Sylvie. We want to hear from you. And we can, you know, air it on the 10th anniversary. So just speak from your heart. It doesn't have to be anything, you know, you don't have to prepare a speech. Just say what you like and we'll put it on the show.
Yeah, we love that. We do have a 1-800 number in the United States if anyone wants to leave a phone message. It is 1-888-274-3853. Or you can email me at kissfaq. Well, sorry, what is it? Yeah, kissfaq@outlook.com. If you want to record a short video with your thoughts about the show, and, you know, you don't have to do, you can send it as an MP4 and we can edit out the video if you don't want to be seen on screen as well and just play your audio. I can extract, just let us know what your wishes are. But you're as much a part of this show as we are. And again, to celebrate 10 years, it's not just going to be us sitting around tooting our horns about 10 years. It's going to be an episode where we do look back on the show to a certain degree, but we also look forward.
Yeah. And we'll also bring up, you know, listeners that we remember from the years, so we'll be a part of it as well.
Yeah, no AI reading comments.
No, we skipped that. That didn't age well.
That did not age well at all. But you gotta, you know what? You gotta try shit to fail, to succeed. I mean, I did the Inner Sanctum podcast this year. We did 10 episodes. It didn't quite get the response that one hoped, and maybe it'll be something that we could revisit in the future. You know, the song stories hasn't, you know, worked out how I hoped it would, but you know, I'll probably do another season of that just because I'm stubborn and I like creating.
However, I have to say, Julian, I think there are great documents that people can revisit. I think, you know, a lot of knowledge and stuff goes into those episodes. So I think even though you didn't get the amount of people that you wanted to listen to them, they can still, you know, play a part in KISS fans' lives for years to come.
Well, I'm going to have to do a... Let me just... I got to do it. I will have to do a new song story season when the Ace book is published.
Okay. Oh,
I guarantee you that.
Why is that?
Because new information is always golden. When you discover new things, when you
like
determine new facts, whether you create, whether you correct things. I'm not going to tell you any more than that, Dennis. You just stop right there. I've been drinking coffee. No freebies. All right, let's leave it there. You know, I want to thank everyone who's chimed in with a ton of comments. We do appreciate it every week. You're here. You show up with some great contributions to the show, and you help make it fun. But right now, where the hell's the end button? From Ken,
like me.
Yeah, from Ken, Daniel, myself. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you. Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the KISS FAQ message board and discuss the topic we've broadcast today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Spreaker, or wherever you've listened to the show. We hope you'll join us again.